Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today, we reflect a bit on the gift of fortitude. This is a gift which actually perfects the virtue of fortitude. And it's a gift that helps us in times of trial and difficulty to persevere through the difficulty. You might even say, to carry the cross. St. Thomas says that we ought to desire that holiness in such a way that in this life we are never satisfied, as a miser is never satisfied. There's a striving, a constant wanting to grow in perfection. And in this life, as I mentioned, you know, I made a comparison, different arts, if you will, music, singing, carpentry is just an example of one of the trades. You know, when all these things come together, you know, say whether it's the carpentry, you know, you have to have your foundation, which to put on the finish, so they call it finished carpentry. It takes a great deal more patience because everybody's looking at it, scrutinizing it, so it has to be more perfect. You know, in hymn and singing and things like this, you know, when we turn around, when all the virtues, as it were, come together, it reaches a certain perfection where it begins to please. You know, at first, when you no one likes to, so you start practicing. Usually, it's awful when you first begin to practice. But as you practice, you reach a certain level that it becomes presentable. It could always be more presentable. It can always become more perfect. And this is it's really true across the board. We reach, you know, there's a certain level of perfection where something becomes presentable, becomes workable, doable. But it doesn't admit of a complete perfection such that you can't grow in the perfection. You can't better it. And fortitude in this life, you might say, is that striving for a constant growing in this perfection. It's like, okay, it's presentable, but I can do it better. You know the beautiful, one of the beautiful examples that I like it can even be working on the computer, but in to say carpentry, because it's something more. We can usually, if you've done any work with carpentry or anything, you know, building of whatever, if you're making something, the first time you make it, it's always, well, you might call it the prototype. We've heard that word before. It's the prototype. And it means that, well, what's going to come after is going to be more perfect than the prototype. But the prototype gives us an idea of what we're looking at, you know, kind of where we're headed. But it's not the complete perfection. As it goes on and we work on it and you have your other models, it gets better. The little we tweak the little imperfections that are still in it that, well, you know, someone who doesn't have the eye for it, they're not going to see these little imperfections. It's presentable. It'll work. But the future models are going to be better than the prototype, the first one. The example of the saints inspires us to grow more and more in fidelity to God in the midst of our obligations, loving Him all the more insofar as we experience greater difficulties, placing our desire for holiness on a firmer foundation, not being discouraged by lack of resources in our apostolate. And here when we say apostolate, we're talking about that working for souls, trying to draw souls to God, or in suspecting perhaps that we are not making progress, at least in appearance, in the targets we set ourselves. And this is something that can be very difficult. As we strive for perfection, we're practicing a particular virtue, and we seem, as it were, to come to confession, and it's like a broken record. I just can't get past the same fault. Well, we mustn't give up. We have to really constantly try. And we may have that imperfection for years. We may even take it to the grave with us. But we must never strive working at overcoming that difficulty. Like it's something impossible. It's just, I can't do it. It's not possible. One, the imperfection, however we may view it, it may actually be what's perfecting humility. God's permitting the slight little imperfection so that we persevere in humility, because perhaps if we didn't have that little stumble, that little fall, we start thinking that, well, I can do this myself. See how good I am? I mean, I don't need God. I'm able to do all these good things without the help of God's grace. And I start realizing, well, this little imperfection is like, I mean, this is a tiny little thing, and I blow it all over. I can't handle it. What's the problem here? I need God's grace. I start realizing my dependence on God. As St. Teresa has written, it is most important, all important indeed, that they should begin well by making an earnest and most determined resolve not to rest until they reach their goal. Whatever may come, whatever may happen to them, however hard they may have to labor, whoever may complain of them, whether they reach their goal or die on the road or have no heart to confront the trials which they meet, whether the very world dissolves before them, never stop trying. This is actually one of the, in the earlier part here, it takes us to several different scriptural passages, and we're familiar with these. If God is for us, who is against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? It is not possible to be separated by God from God, except we choose it. That's the only power that can separate us from God. I will to sin, and I can separate myself from God. But otherwise, no power in heaven, God has not given, even the demons themselves, cannot separate us from the love of God, except that we choose to let them. We choose to consent to sin. The virtue of fortitude, perfected by the gift of the Holy Spirit, enables us to overcome the obstacles that in one way or another we encounter along the path of holiness. But it doesn't remove the weakness of human nature, the fear of danger, pain, or weariness. A person who is strong can still experience fear, but can overcome it thanks to love. And we look at this in our life. When there's love, parents taking care of their children, I mean, there may be great difficulties, great inconvenience. You don't have to stay up all night and then go to work the next day, and you can't be with them all the time. And maybe something goes awry, you know, in the outcome because, well, you weren't there because you couldn't be. Other times, well, maybe you had a problem at the job and the job came down on you because you couldn't be there because you're taking care of a sick one at home and you had to stay home to do that. And, you know, we can sometimes get it from different directions, but to trust in the Lord in these matters. Even though when it seems to be there's unreasonableness, if that does happen, something falls out at work because we're trying to keep the home life together. This is one of the things that, you know, it is important for employers to realize the importance of the family. In fact, my own father actually had chosen a place of work where they cared about the family. That wasn't one of their, because they actually realized it actually injures the company. When there's difficulty in the home life, it affects the performance of the employee at work. And they realized that. And so they were interested in trying to facilitate the good of the family because it ultimately redounded to the good of the company. Precisely because of love, a Christian is able to face greater risks, even though one may feel repugnance, not only at the beginning, but also as long as the trial lasts or the desired for object is still being sought. How often, I remind this, we forget this as Catholics in our spiritual life. I think because I know what God's will is, I've discerned and I've, maybe gotten some confirmation that I'm doing something that is actually, in fact, God's will. The warm, fuzzy feelings, I say, oh, this is great, And then all of a sudden it's gone. It's like, what happened? Where did it go? This is all great, and now it's nothing but a cross. And if you would be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me daily. The cross is a part of our life. We have to recognize, just because I know I'm doing God's will, the two stories that come quickly to mind is, and I mentioned them before, but St. Faustina, carrying out God's, our Lord's will, and with regards to divine mercy, she would ask him one time, I'm doing what you want. Why do you make it so difficult? And he says, this is part of my providence. There's all kinds of, we have to trust in the way the Lord is arranging things. He may be delaying it for a reason. He's also wanting us to exercise ourselves in virtue. And this is one of the things the cross does, is it helps us to grow in all sorts of various virtues. Fortitude does not always eliminate the deficiencies inherent in all created beings. So we're going to have to face the fact that, well, even though I know God's will, I still have to put up with my own human weaknesses, my own limitations, and yet God's there to support us. And we contemplate, you know, our Lord and our Lady, as we just to conclude this, the great fortitude, say, of Our Lady. You know, here she is. You think, I'm connecting the two poles here, you know, between the Annunciation, where she's told her son is going to inherit the kingdom of David, and his reign shall never end, and her unshakable faith, the fortitude she had to have in faith as she watched her son dying on the cross, believing that her son was to inherit the throne of David. Obviously not in this life. He fled from it in this life. But we now know, because of her unshakable fidelity and her faith, that this is, in fact, true. He reigns from heaven for all eternity. And one day, we know, this is part of the second coming, he'll come back and this reign, even now, and by his providence, he does reign. We know this in our own lives. It's mysterious to us because we have trials and sufferings, and sometimes we don't think, well, it appears that he really is asleep and everything has fallen apart. But it's not. He's in full control and very aware of what's going on. In his own good time, he can, you know, he's allowed the situations to be as they are, but in an instant, he can also turn them all around. We have various examples throughout, you know, the history of the church, scriptures, where God, in fact, has demonstrated it doesn't take, you know, any effort on his part to right and make correct what has been wrongly done. So let us trust in him and have courage that all things that he's doing in our lives, you know, to be faithful, losing our sight on that final finish line, our goal is eternal life, to be with him in heaven and to do whatever it takes, asking him to increase the love in our hearts so that we would have that fortitude that we do sometimes when we see it in the natural plane for those whom we really love, that we might love God so that the difficulties that we find in our lives, crosses and the difficulties that seem impossible, love will make us bear all these things for him whom we desire one day to be united with for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.